5:40 a.m. Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. More fallout after the release of that video showing the police beating death of Tyre Nichols. CBS's Skylar Henry has the latest.
Five officers involved who were fired are facing multiple charges, including second-degree murder. Memphis police confirmed Monday that a sixth officer, Preston Hemphill, has been relieved of duty since the beginning of the investigation for his role in the incident. Several others who arrived on the scene are also under investigation.
He's dead, handcuffs, moaning on the ground, and everybody's walking around nonchalantly like it's business as usual. So it should be accountability for everybody on the video.
That's Nichols family attorney Ben Crump. Meanwhile, three Memphis Fire Department officials have been fired, and they could face charges in connection with the death of Tyre Nichols. A Chicago prosecutor is dropping sex abuse charges against singer R. Kelly. Speaking to fellow sexual assault victims.
As a survivor, I know that the courage that it took for them to come forward, and I know that for those who were seeking to have their day in court here in Illinois, that today's announcement may be disappointing.
But Kim Fox says R. Kelly will be in prison for decades anyway on federal convictions. A trial is underway in New York for a woman accused of trying to kill a friend by giving her cheesecake laced with poison.
Victoria Nasora is accused of coming up with the intricate scheme.
This woman concocted a calculated plan.
Prosecutor Constantinos Liturgas, in his opening statement, told jurors the poison cheesecake was a key element.
To get her alone in a room, to try to kill her, and to take her identity.
Nasora's friend did eat the cheesecake, then passed out. She survived, but when she came to, realized her passport and other items were missing. Nasora is also suspected of drugging men that she met on a dating website, then stealing their money. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Winter storm watches and warnings stretch from Texas to Pennsylvania. WCBS radio meteorologist Craig Allen.
Inland portions of Texas, as well as on up across the Mississippi Valley and on up towards the Great Lakes. This is an area where there is precipitation, where there is moisture, and it is falling in the form of snow, sleet, and freezing rain.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Israel, where he's been discussing several issues, including Iran's nuclear ambitions.
We agree that Iran must never be allowed to acquire a nuclear weapon.
Secretary Blinken also urged Israel and the Palestinians to do everything possible to calm recent tensions. Former British Prime Minister Boris Johnson discussing a phone call with Russian President Vladimir Putin before the invasion of Ukraine.
He threatened me at one point and said, you know, Boris, I don't want to hurt you, but with a missile, it would only take a minute or something like that, you know.
Boris Johnson made his comments during an interview with the BBC. This is CBS News.
The Shah 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24-7 at waukradio.com.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Jane Mattmayer. Here's what you need to know. The taxpayer bill for Michael Gableman's 2020 election review is still rising, even though he was fired in August. Gableman's review lasted more than a year, turning up no evidence of widespread voter fraud. WisPolitics.com reporting taxpayers have now spent more than $2 million, and that could grow. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and the Office of Special Counsel are still fighting open records lawsuits brought by the watchdog group American Oversight. Governor Evers has appointed Waukesha County Prosecutor Andrea Will as Dodge County DA. Will replaces Kurt Klomberg, who resigned in December. He said he couldn't effectively do his job because retirements and resignations were going to leave him the sole full-time prosecutor in office by mid-January. There's a shortage of prosecutors and public defenders across Wisconsin, with starting salaries around $57,000 per year compared to $130,000 in the private sector. I'm Jane Mattmayer. This is Civic Media News.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
Pat, I feel like all the women we have on our show, like our co-hosts, always get too famous for us. And then
I would just like to think that we are fertile ground from which they can blossom. We are the manure from which they spring.
The manure from which they spring. I was going to say holding fort, but I think your metaphor is way better.
Up North News Radio with Pat Krylo airs at its new time from 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays across Civic Media.
They were going to show a video of Roger Stone recorded by Danish filmmakers.
Just Google Roger Stone Monopoly Man.
You remember the old Batman TV series? He looks like the Penguin.
It's like a bad costume for A Christmas Carol.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And I know that firsthand because I was in that every year as a kid. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
That needs to be the title of your autobiography. Always a street urchin, never a Cratchit.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
The Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Attorney Fred Gordon, and former alderman in the city of Milwaukee, who now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. We're talking about, you know, it's Black History Month, so I reached out to Fred because, you know, some things that happened in the city of Milwaukee that I think that many people in this listening audience would be amazed to find out, you know, and so we're going to be doing that throughout this month, bringing people like Fred Gordon on to talk about the history of this state and Black people in it. And before we go back, Fred, you know, what we want people to understand too is back during those times, we kind of had our own Bull Connor, right?
Absolutely.
Harold Breyer and that police
Harold
department.
Harold Breyer was the chief of police, and he ran a very tight ship, as they used to say back in the day, in the sense that you had a small number of African Americans, and I don't think they had any Latin people on the force during that time. And he ran the city. I remember vividly during those times when the mayor, Henry Meyer, said emphatically that there's nothing that I can do to stop Harold Breyer from doing what he does.
Right.
And, you know, that was an admission that was very shocking at the time. And essentially, he ruled the city, and certainly the segregation that was pronounced at that time was due in large part to the control that the police exercised over the African American community, and in many communities still existing here at this point in time in America.
Yeah, so let's go back to the open housing and the fact that, you know, schools, the schools that were created to address this, the segregation in the schools.
Yes, well, what happened, Earl, is, as you may recall as well, is that from 1965 to 1967, there was a lot of activism. There were marches, there were boycotts, there were sit-ins. The NAACP, and more importantly, the NAACP Youth Council, spearheaded what was, as I indicated earlier, called direct action. Instead of just complaining about it and crying about it, the determination was to get into the streets, to march. We were taking our cues from what we saw happening in other cities around the country, particularly in the South. Dr. King came to Milwaukee during that period of time.
Several times.
Dick Gregory.
Several times.
Yes. Dick Gregory was very much involved helping to publicize what was going on, and certainly marched with us. You know, I was like 13, 14, 15 years old. And the youth council at that time was spearheaded by Father James Groppi. And, you know, as you know, during that period, there was a coalition of activists, black and white, who were working together to bring attention, you know, to these segregated situations in America. And the Catholic Church was very much involved at that time in leading that. Father Groppi, as we called him, marched with us, organized, spearheaded the resistance to the laws that were being perpetrated upon the African-American community, and the fact that, for the most part, all black people lived in one area of the city. And that's why the open housing, the fair housing laws that were being put forth by then Alderwoman Bill Phillips and others were contentious, because essentially they wanted to keep black folks in our place. And as long as we stayed in our place and did what we were told, then we wouldn't have any problems. But obviously that wasn't the case. So in 1966, I recall vividly, the marches had started to ramp up. And, you know, I was a kid. I got involved because the NAACP Youth Council of Freedom House was right behind where I used to live. And I spent a lot of time over there and got involved and got to marching. That's where my political consciousness began. And, you know, as a teenager, you know, I was reading James Baldwin and, you know, Dr. King's speeches, and all kinds of activity were going on. So the marches across the 6th Street Viaduct was the first time that I had ever marched. You know,
Fred,
in a civil rights
bar. I know, but so Fred, before we get to the viaduct, what people need to understand is the viaduct was like a dividing line.
Yes.
White.
Yes, the viaduct was.
Go ahead.
The viaducts, and there was more than one too. The viaduct separated, you know, the black community from the white community. It separated the north side, where most black folks live, from the south side, where most white folks live during that period of time.
Right.
So no black people ever crossed the viaduct unless they were going to work or, you know, had some business over there, and very few black folks had business on the south side. So as a result, the viaduct was the dividing line. So to march across the viaduct was a big deal. And marches were organized and commenced, and there were several marches. There were marches every day, as I recall. And every time we got to a certain point, there was resistance, you know, by white people who did not want us, quote, invading, unquote, their neighborhoods.
So, Fred, people might want to know, were these marches just with black people, and how large were they?
Oh, no, they were not just solely black folks. During that period of time, as you recall, Earl, integration was starting to proliferate. We always had the opportunity to coalesce with like-minded white people.
Right.
There weren't a lot of them, but there were some. And as a result, we did have white marchers. And again, I have to give the church at that time credit, because Father Groppi was the leader. You know, think about this. You know, we had a white priest who was leading the black struggle.
Yes.
At that time.
Yes.
And as a result, you know, there were other priests, Lutheran priests, Catholic priests in other cities that were doing the same thing. So that's what focused the attention of the world, really, on the city of Milwaukee, that you had this white priest who was leading these black folks on marches across the viaduct to City Hall and downtown Milwaukee. And as a result, Milwaukee became an epicenter of the struggle.
So Fred,
and the attention was being brought to bear, you know, on the conditions in the city.
So Fred, hang on a second. Let's go to the phone lines and Andy from Beaver Dam. Hey, good morning, Andy. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, I moved to Milwaukee in 65 from my hometown, and everything you're describing is right. The Father Grappi would lead every day a group of African-Americans and other people over the 16th Viaduct Bridge over the Menominee River Valley into the Polish, what used to be the Polish section of Milwaukee. And of course, these guys over there, the white guys, they'd be waiting for him, and they would, this was a peaceful demonstration. But a lot of times those guys would, you know, throw rocks at him or, you know, or just, they'd really get mad, you know, at the demonstrators and get them crazy. As far as Breyer was concerned, you know, cops in the mid-60s always looked like, you know, they'd have the hats and all that stuff. They'll let everything crescendoed by 67 after the riots when they closed the city down. All of a sudden, the cops are wearing helmets and riot gear, and they'd open up the doors of their police cars, and they'd have shotguns stuck in a holster in the door. I mean, they were totally armed, you know, ready, hell-bent for whatever would come their way, you know, and like you said, Breyer would rule with an iron hand. He was the guy, you know. I mean, I don't think he had a whole lot of use for the African-American community, you know. He was a hardliner, you know, but it was definitely a time of change and revolution and whatever, and everybody, you know, wanted to be able to, you know, live wherever they wanted to go. They wanted to be kept to one sector of the city, you know.
Hey, Andy.
Would be my observation.
Hey, Andy, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Fred?
The result, it was very exciting for a young person like myself because I was becoming aware of who I was as a black person. I was reading and I remember vividly that when I joined the NAACP Youth Council and, you know, some of my friends, a lot of my friends were also involved, the marches were a major thing. It was being covered by, you know, the networks, because as we were talking the other day, there were only three television networks in existence at that time. So as a result, you had a lot of attention being brought to bear on the city of Milwaukee, because at that time, Earl, as you know, the city of Milwaukee was, you know, it was a Polish-German populated city,
right,
with a very small African-American community. You know, black folks came to Milwaukee after the Great Migration in the late 50s. So it was one of the last cities to have an influx of African-American folks from the South to come up for the jobs, because at that time there were many, many jobs that were available to people. So as the caller was saying, the white folks would throw rocks and bricks and epithets at us and would charge us when we marched across the viaduct. So it's funny now, because they would literally run us back across the viaduct to Wisconsin Avenue.
So, Fred, because we unfortunately, we got to go to a break again quickly. But one would probably ask, what were the police doing during this time? Were they protecting the people coming across the viaduct who were enforcing their constitutional rights?
Oh, that's a whole other discussion that we'll have after the break.
Okay. All right, hang on. 844-967-2789. Attorney Fred Gordon's on the line. We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business.
Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? DesignGarden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until noon tomorrow. Chance of flurries this afternoon. Otherwise, a blend of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 24. Northwesterly winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Mainly clear skies tonight. Lows level off around 8 below. High of 7 above tomorrow. Mainly sunny skies. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us that same number. On the line, my good friend, Attorney Fred Gordon and former alderman of the city of Milwaukee. He now resides in Charlotte, North Carolina. But Fred, before we went to break, we were talking about the viaduct. We were talking about the fact that peaceful marches were set to cross the viaduct, and there was opposition on the other end. I think there were certainly, at one point in time, I think I read 10,000 people who were going to march across that viaduct. On the other side of the viaduct waiting were angry Polish and German people who did not want people. And so why was the viaduct chosen to cross? Was it because knowing that those vicious people were on the other side to prove a point?
Well, there was certainly knowledge of resistance coming from people who did not want black folks in their neighborhood.
Right.
And as I indicated earlier, the viaducts were the separating lines between the north side and the south side of the city. And that particular viaduct was chosen because once you crossed it, you were right there on the south side. Everything changed. And, you know, growing up, when you went across the viaducts to the south side,
it didn't go.
It was like a whole new world.
Right. Didn't go.
You know, so as a result, the strategy was to confront that reality and to march there. Because at that time, as I was saying earlier, the fair housing legislation for the city of Milwaukee was being debated by the Milwaukee Common Council. And Bill Phillips was leading the charge from the legislative aspect. Father Grappi was all about direct action. And because he was a white Catholic priest, he got attention from the media. And he was very smart and very skillful in using the media to promote what was being done as far as direct action was concerned. and the marches that were taking place. And our strategy was to march every day until the legislation at the city level was passed. And that's what we did. And the response was, and you mentioned earlier, Earl, that the police, they were there. And I'll never forget it because, you know, they stood in formation. A lot of cops, probably anywhere from 100 to 100 cops or more. And they stood there with their batons ready and said nothing, did nothing, while all this chaos was going on. Because, you know, I had never been called the N-word until I marched across the viaduct in my life. So as a result, that was obviously a shock to my system. But because we were committed to that aspect of the struggle, as we called it, we continued to march.
You know, Fred, as I think back, the over 200 days the marches went on in the city of Milwaukee. And why that's significant, Fred, is it's not like it's in Florida. The weather changes, right?
Yep.
And even during that inclement weather, the people continue to march.
Yes, absolutely. We got our impetus to do that from the Montgomery bus boycott, which lasted, as you know, for over a year, where people, you know, in the South, in Montgomery, Alabama, stopped riding the buses because of having to ride in the back of the bus and because of the protest that Rosa Parks was involved in. But no, the marches went on. Because people were committed, and again, the world was watching. You know, Milwaukee started to become more known for, you know, its segregated and racist policies because of that, and because Father Grappi was in the forefront, made it possible for the media to say, "Oh, this is newsworthy." But the marches continued until the legislation was finally passed. And as a result, you know, you look at what's happening now in Milwaukee, and things are different, but not that much different.
No, you know, Fred, what people need to really focus on is that at the root of these marches was the fact that black people were locked into a certain segment of the city where we could buy houses and could not. And were locked out of the constitutional rights. You're an attorney. Man, the fact that people, even based on what was right and what was wrong, and their constitutional rights were blatantly being disavowed, the fact that we had to go through all of that is pretty amazing to me.
Well, not only is it amazing, girl, it's instructive of the fact that that took place during that period of time. We now have legislation to basically do whatever it is that we want to do, but the mentality and the mindset of those in control is still the same. Witness what's happening in the state of Florida.
Right.
Here we are celebrating Black History Month, and legislation has been passed in the state of Florida and endorsed by the governor saying that we can't learn about our history because it'll make white folks uncomfortable.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio, streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. The FBI is now searching President Biden's home in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware.
This is now the third FBI search linked to a location connected to President Biden.
CBS's Adriana Diaz says it's part of the classified documents investigation. Football legend Tom Brady was up early on Twitter today.
I'm retiring for good.
Retiring for good, he says at age 45. He backpedaled on his announcement last year. CBS Sports NFL writer Tyler Sullivan says he leaves with three league MVPs and seven Super Bowl titles.
You look at what he was able to do over the amount of time he was able to do it, and that is what I think is going to be so hard to match there with Tom Brady.
It's another day of flight cancellations and driving woes in parts of the South hit by snow and ice. Three deaths are blamed on the weather. Texas transportation official Mike Peters.
Can't eliminate every patch of ice. So the biggest concern we have are folks out there driving too fast.
CBS News Brief, I'm...
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
This is Pat Kreitlow from Up North News Radio. What a busy time this has been for Republicans to lay out their vision, their priorities, and plans. In Tennessee, that includes a bill with a six-year prison term for performing in multiple drag shows. In Florida, during Black History Month, they're making progress in banning the ability to teach freely about Black history. They're also banning books. In Arkansas, they're banning words. In Missouri, they're banning women in the legislature from having bare shoulders. And in Wisconsin, they blocked a ban on child torture known as conversion therapy. Across the 50 states, more than 200 anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced. And the debt ceiling debate threatens to wreck the economic recovery, but Republicans won't say what they would cut. What's missing? Anything about your economic situation, the thing they said over and over last year, would be their focus. It was never going to be. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cancer water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
Best believe she hardly gets a penny.
job. It's like a haystack needle. Cause where he lives, they don't use colored people. Living just enough for the situation.
Stevie Wonder, Living for the City. My guest is Fred Gordon, Attorney Fred Gordon, former alderman and, you know, and friend. And we're talking about those really impressionable times, Fred, that, you know, kind of made us who we are. You know, before we went to break, man, we were talking about the fact that all people wanted to do, man, you're an attorney. All people wanted was what the nation said, you know, we had a right to. And yet the fact that people had to fight. And Fred, in many instances, as you just stated in what the commercials that the news that we heard before we got back on the air, that there are people right now still fighting, still attempting to prevent citizens of this nation who fought, bled, and died for it to have equal and fair opportunities and representation in this country.
I think that what you're seeing in Florida and other states around the critical race theory debate and the suppression of the opportunity to teach and have discourse, intelligent discourse, you know, about America's past is reflective of what we were marching for and what we were fighting for. And there's a slogan that Howard Fuller used to use, and I use it myself, called Aluta Continua. It's the struggle continues. And I think that that's the way it's going to be, certainly for, you know, the rest of our lives, because, you know, we're getting older, and the young people who are now in the vanguard of, you know, dealing with these direct action, marching, protesting, it's up to them to continue to struggle, continue to fight, because the retrenchment on the civil rights that were legislated in the 60s, are now, that's still going on. It's stronger than it ever was, in my opinion. We have legislation, we have laws on the books, but the reality is that for people of color in America, you still can't get a loan from a bank. You still have issues in terms of where you'd like to live. There's still roadblocks and walls that keep us apart. So, yeah, it's still a struggle. It'll always be as long as we are in America. And I think that it's important for us as the elders to teach our children, to teach young people. And I think that that is going to be what our role is, because we remember what it was like. We've seen advances, we've seen progress in many, many respects. But then you look at what happened with Tyre Nichols,
right,
in Memphis. And I tell you, man, those cops, they would have fit right into Harold Breyer's squads back in the 60s.
Fred, people who are listening may not believe that, but what those guys did used to happen with law enforcement in the city of Milwaukee. They used to have what they call an elevator ride. Remember that?
That's right. Oh, yes. Absolutely. The police repression that took place in Milwaukee during that period of time was so ingrained, you know, in the psyche of people of color, black people, that
terrifying.
You knew where not to be.
Yes.
Even though they didn't have those sundown laws in the South, in the North, you knew where not to be after a certain period of time. And we learned very, very quickly where you could go and where you could not go. And if you went there, you should go in a group so that, you know, there would be witnesses.
So, Fred, you just talked about something called a sundown law. In this state, in the state of Wisconsin, let's talk about what a sundown law was, because some may argue it still exists.
Oh, absolutely. The sundown laws originated in the South. And basically, there were towns where it was posted on billboards and signs. Colored people, be at home or be out of town by sundown, or you would get arrested. And if you got arrested, you'd be in jail, and you would get your butt kicked.
Right.
And that was the reality. And, you know, we know all about, you know, the Green Book and the travels that black folk took from various places in the country when they were traveling in the South, you know, during the heights of segregation. And that was a reality in Milwaukee. I mean, in Wisconsin. You knew what was going on. And, you know, remember the Posse Comitatus?
Yes, you know.
Yes, that started in Wisconsin. And it was basically, you know, armed white folk who wanted to keep black folk from leaving, you know, the city of Milwaukee or wherever black folks live and going north, going up north. So that is a real history of racism in Wisconsin and in this country.
So, Fred,
it still persists.
And the thing is, what people should know is we're not talking about 100 years ago, right?
No.
You know, it's pretty recent history. And yet, you know, Wisconsin's still one of the most segregated states in the United States. It has not changed from that perspective. And since black people only make up 5% of the population in the state, you always hear that people are afraid in the state, you know, of black people. But Fred, why? I mean, what have black people done in the state of Wisconsin to impact and affect whites across the state? Do you know of any situations where we've gone into these different areas, segregated areas of the state, and pounced upon white people, raped white women, or you know, robbed?
Oh, no, that's never been the case, and it never will be the case. And as a result, the fear mongering that has existed throughout this country's history is still being perpetrated in many respects. You know, as I spoke about the critical race theory controversy, you know, that's a symptom of that. Why would you not want to teach people about history and not include what happened to people of color in this country? And now you want to spare white people's feelings, white children's feelings, because, Earl, the controversy is so ridiculous. The courses that are being offered at the college level, because I don't know about you, but I really learned about history, about our history, you know, when I went to college.
So, Fred, hang on.
I was in high school, man, we never studied history.
So let's bring
We never studied slavery.
Fred, let's bring some callers on quickly. Let's go to Cassandra from Madison. Hey, good morning, Cassandra. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Fred, I am very much enjoying your commentary today. There are two points that I would like to get your opinion on. Number one, I agree with you about the African Americans studies class. I did not get that information on the history of my ancestors until I enrolled in a course in college and also in graduate school. However, I think what the media is doing, they're not disclosing the full information about the course. DeSantis, he is a bigot, in my personal opinion. However, the course developers, they did not follow the instructions about what the state had wanted for the course. They wanted an African-American history class, not an African-American studies class. So some of the units that they were offering, it really did not meet the standards. I'm a professor. Whenever I design a course, I have to abide by the program and the course objectives, and the individuals who wrote the course, they really didn't do that. My second point that I want to ask you is, if you've been following the migrant protest movement in New York, and here is something that concerns me as an African-American female. The migrants who are out there protesting in New York because they do not want to move into what they feel are inferior accommodations, those migrants, they have that right to protest because our ancestors in the civil rights movement fought for their ability to exercise their free voice. Now, as African Americans, we are not getting involved in the immigration argument, and it is having an impact, especially on black males in employment in construction and the other trades. And so I just like to get your point of view, and I'm going to listen off the air because I have to get ready for work, but very much enjoying your commentary.
Hey, Cassandra, thank you very much for the call. Fred, hang on. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
Skyscraper and everything.
Hey, brother. Hey, come here, Slick. Huh? Hey, you look hip, man. Hey, you want to make yourself $5, man?
Yeah, brother.
Hey, look here. Run this across the street for me right quick, okay? Run this across the street for me.
Hey. What? Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get in that cell.
God. No.
I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
You are listening to your local civic media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the civic media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
What grows in the forest? Our imagination and our family bonds.
The forest is closer than you think. Find a forest near you at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
To protect his family from disaster, Steve used his camera phone.
Done.
By taking pictures of his important documents, Steve can always have them stored online. Learn more simple disaster prep tips at ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A wind chill advisory begins at 11 p.m. tonight and continues until noon tomorrow. A few flurries possible at times this afternoon, otherwise overcast skies. High temperatures reach up to 24, northwest winds 10 to 15 miles an hour. Lows around 8 below tonight, mainly clear. Mainly sunny skies again tomorrow, 7 above. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Join us at 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. Attorney Fred Gordon is on the line. Fred, you want to respond to Cassandra?
And thank her for her comments. The immigration issue is a very important issue because even though as black folk we're not necessarily involved in it to the extent that others may be, we clearly understand its import. And here in North Carolina, where I live, it's a major issue because immigrants and Latin folks from other countries have come to North Carolina, and they're doing the jobs that black folk used to do. And that's something that certainly should spur, you know, some conversation. Because it certainly is talked about here, and it's very apparent. I've noticed that I've lived now for 8 years, and it's one of the first things that I noticed when I moved here. And that is something that obviously is going to be debated and dealt with on the border. But those folks are moving throughout the South, and, you know, they're taking the jobs and they're doing the kind of work that black folk used to do, but don't do anymore. And of course, they're doing it for less money in many respects. But, you know, for them, coming from where they came from, it's a major move up. So it's something that we should pay attention to because I think that there's a lot of similarity between how they're being oppressed and how we're being oppressed.
You know, Fred, she also talked about the CRT, and you mentioned something about that earlier.
Yes.
Now, she's a professor, and
I believe I know her. I recognized her voice.
Okay. So,
what's happening with the CRT, man, it's incredible.
Yeah,
I was listening to D.L. Hughley last night, and he made a statement about the fact that white folks are now trying to prevent us from learning about our history when in the 50s, before Brown versus the Board of Education, they didn't want us to learn anything. So you see the dichotomy that's taken place just in a, like we were saying earlier, in a relatively short period of time.
You know, Fred, and the fact that it's acceptable. Let's do this. Let's bring Tom from L.A. Tom, quickly.
Well, I want to say this conversation is excellent. I didn't realize, being someone that was from the northwestern part of Wisconsin, that there was an actual kind of movement to not allow black people actually to move up into the northern part of Wisconsin. I think that people sometimes in Wisconsin think because, they love the Green Bay Packers and most of those guys are black, that means that they're not racist. Whereas if they had a family that was moving from Milwaukee into their small little rural area, maybe it would have an issue. I don't know. It seems to me that they need to be more people from Milwaukee and maybe more black people need to move into these areas. So therefore, people will actually, not fear out of some tripped up stereotype or some type of crazy ideas that they have. But it's the fear that's holding them back. And I think we do need to integrate by actually, getting more people, seeing other than just the Green Bay Packers on their Sunday. Black people in the upper part of the Midwest and in the upper part of the northwestern part of Wisconsin.
Hey, Tom, man. Thank you very much for the call. Fred?
I think he's right in the sense that the perception of how we as citizens interact with each other is certainly buttressed by what we see and what we hear through the media. And, shows like this, forums, anything that we can do to educate each other, because it's not just black folks trying to educate white people. It's black folks educating black folks.
Yes.
It's black folks educating Latin people and vice versa. Education is the key because knowledge is power, as the saying goes. And before you can get power, you have to know what power is.
So let's do this. So, Fred, I'm going to be reaching out to you again because there's so much more dialogue for us to have, man. I want to thank you very much for taking out the time. But I'm going to be reaching out again. We're just beginning the month, and I need to have your voice heard more. You be willing to do that?
Oh, always a pleasure, brother. We only have 26 days, yeah. 27 days.
But we're going to use them well. Thank you very much, man.
We got to use them. We got to use them.
All right, got to run.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll be back.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back.
Hey, Earl, do you hear me?
Did you know you can get your prescriptions for less at your local pharmacy? You can with GoodRx. It's the free app that can save you money on your medications. Just search for your prescription, choose the pharmacy and the price that works best for you, and then show your GoodRx coupon to your pharmacist at the drop-off counter. GoodRx works at over 70,000 pharmacies, including Walmart, Rite Aid, and Walgreens, and it works whether you have insurance or not. It's easy to save. Next time you drop off your prescription, check GoodRx. To start saving today, go to GoodRx.com. GoodRx is not insurance.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Up North News Radio is Wisconsin's new choice for progressive talk about important state issues, from the team that brings you the news through social media, newsletters, and here on the radio. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Join me weekday mornings from 6 to 8 a.m.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266